This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the next hour, hear how 13-year NFL vet thinks.
You can't just do it one play. No. You got to reset. You got to do it over and over and over again. Yeah. Until we come out here with a win. Let's do it.
This is Brown Safety, Rodney McLeod.
Rodney McLeod joining us in studio in the Smart Choice Windows and More studio. Hey, if you go to a Guardians game on the road, do you have to wear a Guardians hat? A Browns player.
Yeah.
So Travis Kelce's in the wrong and he should have wore something Guardians because he's from Cleveland?
It's different. You know, it's different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm here. You know, this is my team that I play for, the city I represent right now. So, I mean, I feel like for me, I'm not a big baseball fan, but if I'm going to go to a game right now, yeah, I'm put on the Guardian cap. That's me.
There you go. Thank you. Well, I guess do I have to say bad things about Travis Kelce?
Well, we were just surprised because he's sitting there. It's game one. The cameras are fixated on him throughout the broadcast because he's there with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And we were expecting... He always represents Cleveland when he's out and about.
Yeah.
I mean, this is somebody who doesn't play for a Cleveland team. He plays for Kansas City, but he always, on his podcast, he's always talking about Cleveland, how instrumental Cleveland is, and how he wants to put Cleveland on the map and everything. And last night, he was not wearing
He couldn't do it. He couldn't face the fans.
Zaire Swish has also tweeted at me here that if I'm not going to give Travis Kelce hell, I can't get Mitch hell for wearing both Yankee hats and Cleveland hats. Which is a good point, but I don't want it to work that way. So if I got to give,
Kelce didn't wear a Yankees hat. He just wore a fashionable hat.
Mitch, Mitch is behind you, right?
Yeah.
Mitch is a 27-year-old man. Mitch does not play in professional sports, so it's like, you've seen how the sausage is made, and so I wouldn't be surprised if you're like, yeah, I'm not a fan of any teams anymore. Like, I get that. All right? But for him, he's still, like, we all live in a fantasy land. Okay? He says he's both a fan of the Yankees and the Cleveland Guardians, and they're playing each other in the American League Championship Series, and I just don't think that that's a possibility that that can happen. Rodney?
What's the story? What's the story behind the Yankees?
I don't know what his story is, other than he's full of it. Say something on the microphone for yourself, Mitch.
A Dallas Cowboys fan.
He can, huh?
Duke Blue
We've
Devils.
Talked about this.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He can't speak because Rodney's speaking. I don't know how it works. You don't yell at me over it. Well, you can't yell at me. You just shake your head.
You do know how it works. We've talked about it.
Yeah. Well, again, there's things that go through my ears and not through my ears. Anyway, so Mitch is a fan of both the teams.
Mm.
Mitch can't speak for himself. Is that possible?
Now Mitch can speak.
Okay,
speak,
now Mitch can speak. Okay.
No, the whole thing started because I am not a full-time Yankees fan compared to Guardians. If the Guardians are playing the Yankees, I always take the Guardians every single time. But if the Guardians are not in it in a year and the Yankees are still in it, I have at least some vesting interest in the playoffs.
See, if you're going to be a media guy, you have to understand that that's crazy.
I mean, I feel like it's... I think that's fair, though. Like,
that's fair?
People have two teams. People have two teams.
Rodney, we're about to have a problem.
Thank you, Rodney.
That's fair.
People have two teams.
Yeah. How's that fair?
He just claimed who he's with right now. He claimed who he's with.
I have the hat right here.
Wait. That's not how it works.
No.
You can't have two teams.
No.
You can't have two
Why
teams.
Not?
Because one team plays in Cleveland, and he's from here, and he claims to be a fan of that team.
Yeah.
You can't just go ahead. You can have teams that you hate less than others or like, hey, I kind of like whatever. That's fine. But buying gear of theirs and saying you're a fan of theirs when they're not playing, I mean, that's insane, Rodney.
Have you ever visited New York?
Three times, actually, yeah.
Been to a game there?
Three games, actually, yeah.
Man, come on.
He's invested.
Now, if he said, no, I've never been to New York or never been to a game, then I'll give him some.
I've been to a Steelers game. Am I all of a sudden a Steeler fan? They're not playing the Browns. Am I all of a sudden a Steeler fan?
You've never claimed to be a Steelers fan.
You're damn right, but that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense just because he's gone there. But he, if he's going to go to New York and pay those prices to go sit in a Yankee stadium to go watch a Yankee game, you can't then turn around and say you're going to be a Guardians
fan. Then Mitch is also not dejected like he should be. If the Guardians were a true number one, he would have been sad sack you know what today.
Yes.
He has not been.
He's
just kind of laying low.
He's taking the route of, I've already won the series. The series is already over for him.
He's actually making snide comments to us.
How many Guardians games have you been to?
In my lifetime? Gosh, yeah. It has to be over 100.
Oh, come on, guys. He showed his loyalty.
I've been to more playoff games this year than Owen's there.
Here we go.
Oh, boy.
He showed his loyalty to the city, right, Rodney? The Yankees thing then? If he's showing his loyalty, why is he doing the Yankees?
Not this series.
It should.
Exactly.
You got to draw a line in the sand. How many times have we played them in the postseason? It's been a ton.
Six times.
And
since 95.
It's not going to end this year, right? We got a young team. We know what their payroll is. We're probably going to be seeing them all the time. You can't continue this way.
It's impossible, Rodney.
Guys, I've never been more mad on the show than I am right now.
I know. Well, I'm trying to avoid something else in here. So, you know, we're just moving on with that. Tony, you want to go on to the next thing?
I did want to know whether or not he knew those Eagles fans that he was celebrating next to after he scored the touchdown, because it looked like maybe some words were being exchanged back and forth. Really, that whole game, by the way, from their coach on down, there was the most trash talk. It just is something about Philly, their head coach. Maybe it all starts with him, but it looked very lively, especially after you scored that touchdown.
Yeah. I did not know any of those Eagles fans. There's a rule there. You know, you don't cross certain lines. Like, I gave them, you know, blowing kisses at them, things like that. But I'm not looking for handshakes in Philly. I'm not looking for any of that, even though I played there. In that moment, you know, that's a rough crowd. So, you know, I just kept it PG as possible. Walked out of there with everything, you know, that I came in with, but it was a fun time. You know, those fans, of course, they give you everything that you can handle. And then, you know, you saw from, you know, the head coaches, and you know, that's what you see. It's two teams, highly competitive, drawn at one another, a lot of good plays on both sides being made, but yeah, that was a fun moment in the link.
Well, you're going to end up disagreeing with me on this because, maybe you will, maybe you won't. You're a player, so I imagine you will. Who was the guy who went in the stands with the Titans a few years ago? Remember? And he got the drink thrown at him, and then they had the whole back and forth on that. You weren't here at that time, were you?
No.
That was a few years ago. You were in Indianapolis, maybe? It might have been even before that.
Yeah, I think it was before. I do remember seeing it. But yeah, you do have to – you got to find your people. If you're going to jump in the stands, you got to find your
people.
See,
that's like what I'm saying.
I did that, you know, when I played for Philly. I actually jumped in the stands. We were playing Washington. You know, that's my hometown. So I jumped in. But normally there's a sea full of, you know, Eagles fans. There was a lot of Browns fans when we played there, you know, a couple weeks too. But you have to find your people. I found my people. They helped me up there. They gave me some love. Huh?
Are you doing that before the game? Like, have you found, like, okay, if something happens, I get in?
It's just in a moment. In the moment, you got to spot them. Where they at? It's just like a person handing, you know, a fan of football. You're going to spot them out.
Yeah, because it might have been what Joe Mixon tried to do it one year, and the one guy stiff-armed him out of stands. Yeah.
The one thing that does happen is beer gets tossed at you, and sometimes we are famous here in Cleveland for what happened with Bottlegate when the referees blew a call and they unleashed – you know what, over the next 20 minutes, and it was kind of a dark moment. Mm-hmm. It ended up being a dark moment because you had players that were getting nailed as they were walking on in. Do you ever worry about that you can go too far, especially not knowing how fans are going to react?
No. You know, you got to take everything that comes with it when you step over those lines. And for me, like I said, find your people, and they'll make sure they protect you. That's my rule.
So what did you think of Sirianni barking with the fans? Tell the truth. He ain't gonna play him again. Tell the truth.
No, I love Nick because he's very fiery. He's a highly competitive coach. But you have to know your environment. You know, with that, with those fans, that just comes with the job. And you can't bark back. Like right now, I feel like, you know, he's at that point right now where he's like, you know, I don't give a,
uh-huh.
You know? And so for him, you know, he has to be careful, but you can't do it. And then you can't come back and ask for forgiveness because those fans, you know, it's hard. They don't really forgive often.
That's the point. It's like, what do you do? Like, I think that he's kind of past the point of no return there.
Yeah.
Like, now it's like, okay, if you're going to sit there and bark at fans. And then the whole thing about the kids in the press conference. Everybody likes kids at a press conference. But you know this. Like, if they were 8-1 and you want to bring the kids to the press conference, that's cool. But you've been in the heat for the last 2 weeks mm-hmm. about your job, mm-hmm. about your status with the organization. You beat the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. You're coming off a bye. And you didn't look good doing it. I know you're sitting right in front of me. It's a weird thing to say. Sorry, Ronnie. But they didn't look good doing it. And then you're going to bring your kids up to the press conference there. It's almost like it's a shield. And I didn't like that move by him. I didn't like the barking at the fans. But in Philly, like I remember Howie Roseman a couple years ago went right back after the fans. After a win, they were like congratulating him. And he was giving them the bird and all this other stuff. So maybe it's a Philly thing. Fine. But the whole kid thing and the... Well, they're not going to say anything to me. That's going to be really tight because my kids are here. Like,
yeah. But I think that's a consistent, you know, act by him, right, to bring his kid up.
Has he done it in the past?
I don't know if that's the case, but I'm telling you right now, I think he's done it a few times.
If
he's done it a few times, I still don't care because I still think that in that moment you got to go up there and you got to face it the way it is. He's been embroiled in controversy for 2 weeks about his future. And he's been a successful coach. I understand that it's a weird standard they have over there. And once they pick you to leave in Philly, they pick you to leave, for better or for worse.
For sure.
But damn it, like, you kind of got to stand in there and understand.
Can you not celebrate a win with your child?
Do you have to do that in the press conference where they're supposed to ask you the tough questions on what you did and what you didn't do?
But if he's done that, if that is his thing, right, if that's something that he's now made an identity of his or so often during wins he brings his son up, you got to respect it. And the truth is they don't like how they're winning. But
that's a way to put it.
They're winning. Right? We all know we're sitting in on the opposite side of things, right? Like we haven't won in some time. So winning in the National Football League is not easy. Everybody has their own idea on how they want you to win. But at the end of the day, you got a W in the column. Be happy. Move on.
But that's supposed to make everybody happy? Because I think at some point, like, the standard changes. Like, the standard was supposed to be different for us. Like, I'll take any win we can get now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know you will, too.
It don't matter.
Like, Roddy, I'm not gonna lie
how
to you.
We
like, I know you don't listen to us, and it's probably good you don't, because I think you'd lose your mind. Like, I've touted you as Brown's leading scorer, Roddy McLeod, coming in today. And I know you can't say anything about that, but I will, and that's part of the problem that what we have here. So I'll take anyone we can get.
Mm-hmm.
And if Kevin Stefanski, if we ended up being 2-5 and Kevin Stefanski wanted to go up there and start acting like Ric Flair, I'd probably have a problem with that too, to be honest with you. But either way, like, I don't know. The standard's different. So I don't think you can just bring up all the kiddos because you won a game in week 6 in the regular season.
But is the kid going to stop him from answering the tough questions?
It's going to stop me from asking the questions.
Why?
If you...
Oh, that looks
Ronnie,
like it works.
Ronnie. That's the point. That's the point. Does anybody... Like, honestly, Ronnie, if you coach the Browns,
mm-hmm.
and we... I'm going to use a different example. If you coach the Colts... If Jim Irsay got in his cups a little bit, goes, I'm going to make Rodney was a leader. I'm going to make Rodney the head coach. And you brought your daughter up. I'm not going to ask you tough questions because I'm not a psycho. So if your daughter's a baby now, right?
Yeah.
When your daughter's like a toddler, and say you decide you're like, yeah, maybe broadcasting ain't for me. I want to get into coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys go out and you get hammered by the Texans or something. I'm not going to ask you a bunch of mean-spirited stuff or traps, lay traps for you to get you in trouble with the media or anything about your quarterback or anything about the wide receiver, the relationship, the offense, and what you're doing with the offensive coordinator. I'm not going to do that.
Mm.
It's your daughter's there. Wow. I'm not going to ask you about your job security in front of your own child. I mean, you know.
They barely know. They barely know what's going on.
Who barely? The kids?
Yeah.
I'm still talking about a man's livelihood in front of his child. There is a difference. There is a difference. You can see that, can't you?
Now there's this compassion for for the child.
Yes. That, I mean, you've seen A Christmas Carol. The whole thing is Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to separate Bob Cratchit from his employment. Look at Tiny Tim. He's going to die. Mm. You don't want to do that. So it's like the same. Even though, you know, head coaches in the NFL make a fine salary and they'll be okay. You don't want to do that.
Now, what if it's Iowa?
I just think it's a cop-out.
What if it's Iowa and Kirk Ferentz brings his son up there on the podium?
And makes him the offensive coordinator.
And oddly enough, Brian actually sits on his lap.
That would be, that'd be interesting.
Be an interesting one.
You guys surprise me every day.
We find
so
ways.
So the kid is
off limits in the press conference. Off limits in the press conference.
What sort of questions are you asking? Just very
to Nick Sirianni. Right.
Yeah. What would you ask him?
If I was Eagle Media?
Yeah. And his child was up there. What would you?
I don't think you're gonna like hearing it.
What? I mean,
Well, Ken, we got a platform. Let's hear him.
If I was asking him, I'd go, why are you yelling at because at that point they knew about him yelling at fans. Why are you yelling at fans when you I'm sorry, Ronnie. Why are you yelling at fans and making a big deal with fans? The Browns are 1-5. And we're supposed to hold you to a higher standard. You're supposed to be a Super Bowl team. Your quarterback makes $200 million now, and your quarterback, by all accounts, doesn't like you. Mm. Why are you
that's
bringing...
That's not gentle.
It ain't gentle. Yeah. But that's the questions that are asked.
That's fair. That's what I'm how is a child going to alter the questions that you ask?
Because if I ask that, you hear that question I just asked, how am I supposed to ask that when a man's kid's out there with him?
What do you mean?
Your job's on the line.
Uh-huh.
Hello, Junior. How are you doing? Like, you can't do that.
Until
can't.
It's Halloween and the kid's dressed up in costume.
Yes. Excuse me, son. I have to ask you about your dad getting fired from a job that most people dream about. Like, that's crazy. Hey, Junior, do you like your school? Yeah, you might not be there very longer because your dad's about to get fired.
You
anyway,
don't think,
Nick,
you don't think
like,
his child is hearing about it somewhere else?
I think there was a time they used to. I don't know.
Those clips surface all through online.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Probably talk about that at school.
You got me there.
Hey, your dad. Hey, I saw your dad.
You got me there. Ronnie McLeod's touchdown, which this is what sucks, is I wanted to make a big damn deal about you scoring the touchdown. And now I can't because I know you won't, because I know you'll stonewall me if I try to talk to you about the touchdown, because you already did against Las Vegas when we unfortunately went out there and lost. So I know you're going to stonewall me on
we
that.
We can talk about the somersault, though.
Yeah, I'm retiring it. It's over with. Back is hurting.
Limited in practice. Somersault on the injury report.
Were you like Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon? Like, I'm too old for this.
Yeah,
like,
I swear.
What you landed?
I swear. That's like, whoa. Like, after everything settled down, I got to the sideline. I'm like, heat pack, please. like heat pack, please. It's over with. Like, that, what's now become like a signature thing, it's a wrap. It's done. If I'm fortunate enough to score again, you will not see me somersaulting, flipping, doing any of those things in the end zone. Stand on my feet.
You have graded highly over these last so many weeks, even though the results are not what we want them to be. Are you rethinking retirement now as of October 15th?
No.
So you got 11 more games. That's it.
That's it. That's all I'm guaranteed. I'm praying, you know, for more than that, but that's all I'm guaranteed. And, you know, I'm going to empty the tank, but everybody's like, yo, man, one more year, you know, the way you're running. I think I clocked at like 19.2 on that touchdown. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, all right, old man, still the wheels could turn over a little bit, but the way the body feels afterwards. Not,
you feel bad today?
It's not nice. It's
physically,
not
nice. How do you feel today, right now, this moment?
You know, smooth 5-6. It was a little easier to get out of bed this morning.
Yeah.
Then I think tomorrow I'll probably be at a, you know, 7.
What was it yesterday?
Yesterday was probably like a 4 in my book.
My God.
And is that happening more and more? Didn't maybe necessarily happen earlier in your career?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like the recovery time. You know, body doesn't bounce back, you know, as quickly as you like it. It takes a lot for me to prep for practice, and then of course, you know, even for a game. Like, if it was up to me, I would arrive, you know, at the stadium like an hour before everybody else. Like, home games, I'm one of the, like, the first in there, because I just have to, my routine, it just takes a lot longer to get ready. And then now I hate getting rushed and everything. So gotta make sure everything's activated, firing. And so it just takes a toll on you after a while.
Are you are you practicing on Wednesdays?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
so
out,
no
I'm
veteran
out there
days?
Every,
no
I'm
veteran
out there
days.
Every day.
Really?
Yeah, I'm out there every
Is
day.
Is it a point of pride to not have veteran days for you? I don't want to trap you with anybody else. I don't need to be creating more problems than what I need. Joe used to get veteran days every Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, the way coaches, you know, structured our Wednesdays now, it is a lot more favorable, you know, for a guy like, you know, myself, that I am able to still get my reps and practice and things like that. So it works versus, you know, if practice were structured the way it was, you know, in the past, then yeah, I probably would be at a coach, get a vet day. And I'm not ashamed of it. At one point I was ashamed of like taking days off. Like, I wanted every rep at practice.
Well, okay.
Like from rookie year all the way up until like maybe year.
Yeah, you're undrafted, I would imagine.
Seven.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Eight. It was like the year after I hurt my ACL. That's when I started taking reps off at practice. And it was instructed to me, like, it was told, like, we're taking reps off of you. And then from like that point on, I've been open to it. And then it was Indy where I actually had Wednesdays off, and it made a world of a difference for me on Sundays. Yes.
Something good that Jeff did.
Come on, man.
Let
my man breathe.
One
man.
Day
let
we're going to get the Saturday stories.
It's just so amazing to me. He's back on TV. I'm going, I cannot believe they made him a head coach.
Like it never happened. Like it never happened.
Rodney, I did want you to clear something up, because when teams lose, fans start to jump on narratives, stuff that they think but don't necessarily have the reporting behind it or anything. I've seen some people start to say, well, Stefanski has these country club practices. Are the practices any different than they were in December when you were winning games last year, or in years past, or in places you've been elsewhere? Something like that. Is that just something fans latch onto?
Yeah, no. I mean, there's no difference. Of course, like I just said, like, we did make an adjustment to specifically like our Wednesday practices, but Thursday, Fridays, everything else is completely the same. You know, we're going out there. We just made an adjustment because we felt that would give, you know, us the best chance at remaining healthy, and ensuring that, look, you know, going to just take a little load off for guys, because these are the things that are going to help us, you know, win on Sunday. So everybody's fresh as possible and ready to go. So, you know, I don't really know where that narrative came from. But, yeah, at this point, whatever you hear, whatever whispers are going on, people are going to try to leech onto that and make a bigger deal of it all, right? You know, we're at a point where everything is going to be scrutinized and magnified, and everything's under a tight microscope.
Do you want to ask some of the Aaron Rodgers thing?
Well, last night...
Because we don't have much time left in this one.
Yeah, the Jets lost last night, and as he does, he makes waves with his press conferences after the game about the penalties and also some things that happened there. So here is Aaron Rodgers after the game yesterday.
Yeah, it seemed a little ridiculous. Yeah, some of them seemed really bad, including the roughing the passer on me. That's not roughing the passer. I as well play sarcastic ball if we're going to call those things. And I thought the one on Kinlaw was not roughing the passer either. And we had a phantom holding call that we had our chances.
First of all, I mean, he's been in the league long enough. You know, he can get away with saying the stuff that he's saying, and going after officials is something that, you know, everybody almost goes out of their way to say, I'm going to get fined for this, so I'm not really going to say anything. And he's someone who will say it. The roughing of the passer calls in general, I thought there were like three cheap shots on Sunday that were not called. And I don't know, is that we can't hear guys on the field. Are they constantly reminding our coaches and players, talking to the officials about that, or will the officials not even allow you to really say much?
Rodney McLeod joining us in studio. Rodney, when you hear somebody talk, like, how much is that fine? You know, he's going to get fined.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it is. Do you know how much it is?
No,
do they just specify?
I don't either. No, they don't specify. I think they just determine it after they listen.
When's the last time you got fined for play?
Oh.
Have you been fined?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been fined on some personal fouls in my day. Oh, only like maybe one, only maybe one or two.
Okay.
But they, you know, of course, I challenged all of them.
You can challenge? Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah, yeah, they got to dispute it. Hey, come on. What do you mean? I wasn't intentional there. Just playing good ball. The way I know it.
So when you do that, do they give you a discount?
Yeah, they'll give me a little discount. They show a little love.
That's worth it, then.
A little bit.
All right, Mitch, you ready for Mitch, please? All right, away we go.
All right, so this audio comes to us from the Monday press conference of Oregon head coach Dan Lanning, who seemingly confirmed that the 12-man penalty that the Ducks incurred at the end of their win against Ohio State on Saturday was seemingly intentional to milk some of the game clock.
He wasn't one-on-one. We actually had a safety on top. So there was a, so it's called dog. It's when you play, but he wasn't in extremely tight coverage, but he was in dog coverage where he had safety on top of him. Yeah, there was a timeout before that. We spent an inordinate amount of time on situations. There's some situations that don't show up very often in college football, but this is one that obviously was something that we have worked on. So you can see the result.
All right, how many guys, I mean, you're not that old for crying out loud. We're both older than you. We make football players out to be grand old men here. How many guys have either, you know, done anything like that or faked injuries from when you've seen anything else, like in college? Like, what was it, Ole Miss the other day?
Guys just fall down.
They have the same safety that just came. Boy, he just can't stay on the field someway, somehow.
It happens all the time. It's all the time. From, I don't know about high school. I don't remember us really doing it much in high school. College and pros. It happens. And it just depends on the flow of the game. You know, the way things are going. But yeah, there's great acting going on in the league.
You don't have to give away any state secrets here, but I always do wonder, like, how much time do you have? You barely have time, it seems, anymore, to really put in the work and practice. And as the season goes along further, it's more about rehab and getting guys healthy. But do you guys have a few tricks up your sleeve in situational football that, you know, and maybe you used one of them. Maybe it was the Myles Garrett special teams play. Yeah, it certainly looked like a play that they were excited about.
There are situations that call for a little extra, right? Like if we're in a two-minute situation and we're on defense, team is driving, they have no timeouts, right? As an offense, they're teaching you, get up off the ground, get the ball to the nearest umpire or whomever, spot the ball, you're on, right? As a defense, you want that clock to continue to run, right? So, yeah, we're going to take our time getting up, right, off of you as I make that tackle. I'm going to just lay on you. I'm going to make you work a little harder, right, because every second matters. You know, we look at that. If you look at that play, I think a couple of weeks ago, Kirk Cousins spikes the ball with 1 second left. And that was a very brilliant play by the Falcons, but I think a poor job by, forget the team that they were playing, Tampa Bay. If they just laid on the defender right there, Drake London, just for a second longer, because they got up as if they were spotting the ball. Like, you're on defense. Like, take your time a little bit. And who knows what could happen. That's a different outcome. So there's all of that, like, kind of chess match happening, strategic play going on, and when those situations happen, you have to be cued in, locked in, and, you know what I'm saying, doing whatever it takes to win.
All right, how we beat the Bengals on Sunday?
Whew. Work.
Okay, how do you go? I imagine work. You guys have been working the last month.
Work.
How do you work?
Work. Man, we bring that hat tomorrow. We bring that toolbox, and we start prepping. We get on the grind. We get a great lift in tomorrow. We have a great first day of practice. And more importantly, man, we start this new season off the right way. That's how we're looking at it. Forget everything that happened before today. New season starts now. And we got to bring our best. Pack our best back at home, and let's go out and win.
When you have new guys in the secondary, real quick, how do you get them acclimated because of the injuries? How do you do that this week?
For us, it's going to come down to unbelievable amount of preparation and obviously trusting those guys. That's where it starts. Trusting in them, preparing hard, making sure that they know everything that's that they're responsible for. And like I said, put in the work at practice, and then it's going to show on Sunday.
All right, Rodney, thank you.
Yes, sir.
You want to start the war of words with their receivers? Let's go. Start it right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. They hate you guys.
We'll go over for you to do.
Yeah, oh, my God. I forgot about that.
All right, say something nasty
about it. They played down in Cincinnati. Yeah. Come on.
Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, come on. Mike Brown.
Say, hey.
Boomer Esiason.
I'll say it with you.
Yeah, go ahead. You say
Ja'Marr
it.
Chase is more worried about his money than wins.
Yeah. Mm. You agree?
Yeah. Now say it. All you got to do is say it.
Mm. I'm going to leave that to y'all, man. I'm going to show up on Sunday, and I'm going to show what I'm about. That's
Ja'Marr Chase is more worried about his pockets than victory against the Cleveland Browns. Rodney didn't say it. I said it.
Tell him Joe Burrow's been carrying him.
Rodney didn't stop me, though, from saying it. Think about it.
Just as complicit.
Hey, freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom of speech.
You know, if you're in the car and I rob a bank, you get in trouble, too. Just letting you know.
But we all got a mic.
It's the company.
We all
you
got
keep.
A microphone in here.
That's not how it's worked for us in the past. Yeah. I have gotten in trouble with everybody else in the past. Never mind.
They turned my mic off.